One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Live and Alive Tour is off and running. Tulsa, Oklahoma, September 15th and 16th. Phoenix, Arizona, September 29th and 30th. Get your tickets to all shows at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. You know I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And again, every week, thank you. This community continues to grow. The stories continue to get wilder. We're over 200,000 subscribers now on YouTube, which is awesome. Got a goal. Next step's 500,000. So subscribe. It helps the podcast. I'm telling you, it's a free way to really help the show out. And if you got to have more, then listen, you got to go check out the Patreon. Now we're over 5,000 subscribers there, and it continues to grow. Every month it gets bigger, and the stories there, it's worth it. It's only $5. There's no tiers, no levels, no t-shirt cannons, none of that shit. It's just $5. You get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, you get it at no additional cost, and you get the entire back library, audio and video, of the Honeydew with y'all, and y'all got the wildest stories. If you or anyone you know out there has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And if you are looking for a new podcast to listen to, again, go listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. That community is still thriving online, and that library is going to do over 1 million downloads this year. That's a podcast that's been almost dead for 5 years. That's incredible. So thank you guys for your support. All right. Come out and see me on the road, y'all. The Live and Alive tour is live and well. Tulsa, I'm coming to see you September 15th and 16th. Phoenix, Arizona, September 29th. And the 30th. I'll be in Salt Lake City, October 27th and the 28th, November 10th and 11th, Batavia, Illinois. And then we're going to close out the year in San Francisco on December 8th and 9th. Get all your tickets at ryansickler.com. Now, that's the biz, and you guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on here. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the Honeydew. Please welcome Tom Takkar. Welcome to the Honeydew,
hey,
Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother. This
Thank
is a
you
dream.
For being here. Thank
I
you
love
for
the
being
show.
Here. Well, it's good to see you again,
yeah.
I say, because the first time we really met was when your epic special.
Yeah.
I got to sit across from you and interview, and it's been so long, I barely remember anything.
I know. I remember that vividly because it was it's the only time I think a man has made me cry in, as an
that?
Adult, I should say.
I was going to say, we're about to get into
since
some
since I've been
stuff,
diddled we'll or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's a weird way to start. This is monetized, right? I don't know.
It was.
Yeah, I was like, we're doing a comedy special and you interviewed me. And you asked some question. I don't even remember what it was, but I started talking about a friend of mine being a good dad, and I almost started breaking out into tears. And I was like, what the fuck am I? What is this guy? You're like White Oprah.
I'll take it, man. Yeah. I'll take White Oprah any day. Well, before we get into your story today, please plug, promote everything, anything you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love for people to check out. I just put out an hour special. It's free on YouTube, so you can click right over to it. It's called Takar Noir, T-H-A-K-K-A-R.
That's great.
Noir, like Drakkar Noir, the cologne. And it's an album too, but it's through 800 Pound Gorilla on YouTube, and I'd love for people to check that out. It's an hour of just jokes about some of the stuff we're probably going to talk about today, but like I try to make it everything just funny. Like there's no message, there's no like lecture in it or anything. It's just an hour of pure jokes in a comedy club that I think is really strong. So I'd love for people to check that out.
All right. Yeah. Where are you on social media and all that?
I'm on Instagram and a little bit on TikTok. Are you on TikTok? I
had to pay people to help me out. What's up? I got to do that. I had to pay them to, I can't.
I got
to
pay somebody.
I was on it for hours.
Yeah.
And it's just killing my day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather sit here and do this with you
for sure
than try to figure out what's trending on this social media app.
Yeah, and like having to figure out what hashtag to use to make a 15-year-old like me is just not. It doesn't feel, it should be illegal. Like all TikTok it feels like is me trying to attract children into my fan base, and it doesn't feel right. But Instagram feels a little bit more like whatever. So I'm on there at Tom Takar. And then YouTube and all that stuff now. Facebook, I guess, if that's still part of it.
Facebook's a huge part of it.
Yeah,
oh, my God, huge.
Yeah, I need to delve. I'm trying to get better at all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I have a podcast, too, called Stand By Your Band, where we have comedians come on and defend music that people make fun of. And it's a good time. Yeah, right. Stand By Your Band.
So let's get into your life a little bit, because I want to get to refresh myself and I want everybody to get to know you a little bit. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah. Bloomington, Indiana, to be specific, but more like the outskirts, because Bloomington's a college town.
That's Hoosiers, right?
But I'm not from the college-y part. I like to say I'm from like 20 minutes past the Walmart, because like that's a different part of the world. It's like county culture, but it's like the try that in a small town type, like it's that type of shit. So it's not like the college students with, their backpacks and stuff. It's like missing teeth and like dirt floor type shit. Now we didn't have that, but like that's the sort of part of town I grew up in. Yeah. I don't know if you spent much time in Indiana.
Quite a bit of time in Indiana, actually. Yeah. I like Indiana.
Indiana's all right. I love Indiana. I should say I defend it now that I live in like coastal cities.
And when we get out here, Kirsten was just there with me. Went and saw my friends. I went and did the club there, and my friends Austin and Libby came out. What's up, y'all? And they I took my shoes off. I hadn't walked in grass. I hadn't had bare feet on grass in so long.
Sure. There's
and
space.
Just seeing grass and and I was just like, God, I miss this. I miss this.
The air is kind of nice. It's like, I have when people are like, because I lived in New York for a while, and when people would be like, people in New York are pieces of shit. They treat you bad. And in the Midwest, everybody's nice. That's not really true, but there is a nice, like, slowed down, chilled out vibe. They have real dive bars in Indiana where it's like you could hang out with like a hipster teen and a 70-year-old like career drinker. And that doesn't exist as much in other parts of the world, I think, or like coastal cities, I should say. You know, it's like real people.
So growing up in Indiana, what was your mom and dad? Did you have siblings? I know from talking to you that your dad left early.
I did not have a dad like from the jump. I had an older brother and sister when I was born.
From your mom?
From my mom.
Okay.
From my dad, I don't know a lot. Like he's an Indian dude and he... She's not. She's white. She's a bunch of different white shit. When people ask me, I'm not like a dude who's attached to my like. Yeah. I'm not like me and my family are Irish, and you don't fuck with us or Indian either. I don't. I have a lot of problems with like. I think because I'm mixed race, I just don't give a shit about any of that stuff. Like I don't care about Indian culture. I don't care about white culture or whatever that is. But like Irish, Italian, I don't know. It's a big mix of shit. And so I don't care about that. But like, she's not Indian. They met in the personal ads and went out on a few dates. Had me out of it. We're never married or anything.
Out
of the paper, the old school Craigslist. Yeah. My aunt apparently was supposed to meet this dude, and she had so many dates from the personal ads. She dumped him off onto my mom. And then they.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. They met
this
up.
Is your biological it's father. My biological was father. Dumped yeah. Your aunt was like, I got too much on my plate. Why many. Don't you take this
yeah,
one? And
yeah.
It turned into you.
Turned into me. Yeah. Yeah. A weird little piece of print in the newspaper. Turned into my ass. Yeah. A weird, desperate Indian man in the newspaper. Like, please, will anyone fuck? That's me.
Oh, God, that's so good. Okay, so they meet, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, but sure. Was it a one night, you say he's gone, or was it a one night stand?
So this
or?
Is a tough thing to get out of your mom. She's not going to say that.
Right.
I don't think it was a one night stand. From the way she described it, they went on some dates. It sounded like they were kind of like casually dating from what I understand. My mom famously says he was like a cheap piece of shit. He was a doctor when they met, and he took her to Wendy's with my aunt and asked them to split a baked potato as like their meal.
Wait.
So it might be.
It's also like one of the cheapest things you can get there too.
It's truly
like
the cheapest
they're known
menu
for their burgers. Yeah, but you guys.
No, you haven't had this potato yet. You're really pushing the potato. I'm telling you, this is the best potato you're going to have. The burgers are overrated.
So maybe then it kind of sounds like they were dating for a little while, and then mm-hmm. your mom says, hey, I'm pregnant, and he's like, I'm fucking out of here.
Sort of. I think there's some of that. I think he was
seeing
multiple people.
There's definitely some of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
To tell you, we're going to get really real here. There was like a lawsuit against him that he was hooking up with his patients and then coercing them to have abortions. So I was supposed to be an abortion. He was trying to get my mom to abort me right out of the gate. And he would do it.
But apparently. At that time, she wasn't a patient. They met because
no,
your aunt.
No,
right.
No. Yeah. She wasn't a patient, but there was
this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. At least there was a history of this.
What kind of doctor was he?
He was an OBGYN.
Was
so
he
it's
giving
like,
the abortion too?
That's what was. It's hard for me to decipher all of it. I found an article once in the.
That's scandalous.
You know that. What's that newspaper that's like. Bat Boy or whatever, the Weekly World News or something like that. Mm. It's all like hoaxes and shit.
Okay.
He was in that.
The Onion?
No. Oh, okay. No, it's not funny.
It's real. This one's real.
I mean, okay. it's like real, but tabloid.
Right.
But,
and like the Inquirer and all that shit.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's like in the 80s or the 90s when they'd be like alien footage found or whatever. Yeah. And now we're like, maybe that was real.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, he was like featured in that apparently at some point. And so I found that at one point in my 20s because I never met the guy. So I was like, oh my God, this guy's
how'd
a piece
you,
of
were
shit.
Were you looking for him?
No,
or
I was never.
Him at least, I mean.
I never looked for him. My mom tried to find him right before I turned 18, because he never paid child support. And what she remembered was he was a doctor. He lost his medical license and went to jail for a while
because
for some
of
this
that.
Shit. Yeah, for some of it.
Damn.
She was like, I think some of this was like small town racism stuff. I don't know how much of it was real. I think some people like dated him and then didn't want to admit it or something. But also, it's hard to tell. You never know what somebody's trying to like. Hide from you to protect you from the monster your father might have been, you know? And so I never went looking. I always kind of thought,
yeah.
I don't know if this makes sense, but it's like from an early age, I was like, if this guy doesn't want a relationship with me, why would I be looking for him? You know?
Yeah, you're like, wired differently, though. That's what I've learned about in therapy, too. You're wired differently. A lot of people go the other way. Like, I need this. I need this closure.
Oh, I
need this.
Sought it out in other ways. Like, I wanted the respect of other guys in my life, like adults. Like, guys, I have a bit about it now, but it's like not having it. You do seek it out in ways. And now I have all these guys. I'm not going to do my bit, but it's like I find these old men on YouTube. And they teach you how to do stuff. And I find that so soothing. And that is like my new dad. Like, I definitely want, and in comedy, like.
Listen, I had a great dad. He died when I was 16. So from there on, I grew up without a dad. And I mean, I love my dad, but I learned how to tie a double motherfucking Windsor. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I learned how to tie the Cadillac of knots.
Sure.
On YouTube.
That's exactly what my bit is.
Who needs a dad? Who needs a dad?
That's exactly, yeah. That's the exact example I use is nobody taught me how to tie a tie. Mm-hmm. And then I found this guy and now he's my dad. But he's a good dad. He doesn't bother me too much.
Built a deck last week. He's got it out there doing it.
Because I bought a house and I got to find these guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's how you get rid of a wasp nest.
Yeah,
like, I think your dad is supposed to teach you. But I never thought to like, they're always angry too. They're like, here's how you do it. But I didn't seek it out because I was like, this guy doesn't want a thing with me. Why would I want it? But then I got older and you just get curious, you know? And then it all came back into my life when I was like 26 or so because he died. And I only found out.
How'd he die?
That's a great question. He was flying back to India and he had some sort of blood disorder of some kind. I probably should know out of like medical history.
My wife, as a guy who has that very probably same blood disorder, similar with clotting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I say this on this show all the time. I'm going to say it again. Even if you don't talk to your family, if you don't, man, find out their history, their health history, because it's your, no matter what, that's your DNA code in there. And whatever they have, you could very well have, and it could kill you.
Yeah, but what if I find out I'm gay? I'm just kidding.
Get the abortion. Get the abortion.
No.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That was dumb as hell. No, that should do that because that's he died pretty young too. I think he was like 62 or something like that. So not young, but like
I mean,
pretty young.
Yeah. I hope I get way past that.
Me too, brother. For both of us. My wife is like, you should figure this shit out, but I really should. I'm scared of
was he flying?
Shit.
Was he on the plane when it went?
That's where it started. It's hard to really gather all the details because there were so many shifty characters involved in his death story because he was a big ripoff artist. He was a big like dirtbag. He kept all of his money in his house in cash. He lost his medical license, opens a blinds business and a Meineke car shop, like the oil change places.
Yeah, I remember.
So I found out about all this shit because after he died, like 3 months pass, and my mom had found him. This is kind of important. My mom found him right before I turned 18 to get a little bit of child support.
And where was he? Was he still
in
Indiana?
Georgia. He's in Georgia. I thought he was back in India or somewhere across the country.
But he stayed in the States.
Yeah, he was like, you know, he was not far away. He was in Georgia. He was in a suburb of Atlanta. And so I just knew that he was alive or whatever at that time when I was 17. He sent us like $15,000 for my entire life. And then I used some of that to go to college, and I never thought of him again. I was just like, whatever, fuck this guy. He knows that I'm alive now. He paid child support. He did not make an effort to reach out. Fuck him. Like, I had a great mom. So I was like, I don't need this guy. Cut to, he dies 3 months after he dies. My family gets a call because he has all these lawsuits against like ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, like other business partners and the shit. And they want me as the only living heir to drop the lawsuits, but I don't even know this exists. I don't know he was dead. So I'm learning all this shit on the fly.
What do you mean to drop them?
Like they think I can take over the like his estate and because he has lawsuits against these people, I can take it over.
He's the plaintiff.
Got it. He's like suing a woman over a house, like all this stuff.
So they're saying, and then there's lawsuits against him over too. Just drop all this.
Exactly.
Got it.
I only find out he died because of somebody trying to do that. And so my uncle looks into it. He's a lawyer, and he's like, hey, I think there's like a big estate here that it seems to have just been left behind for 4 months. Let's go figure this out. And so what had happened is after he died, he had an attorney and some other lady, like an accountant, who became the executors of this estate because they pretended they didn't know I was alive, even though he had, there was documents that showed they did, because they paid child support when I was 17. And so they had drained the estate dry. They sold everything to themselves. He had two Porsches. They sold to themselves for like a grand because they were just running wild. And so we tried to like fight it for a little bit, but it was fucked. But for a second, I was going to move to Georgia and own a Meineke. That was the other thing, is they were like, this Meineke's falling apart. There's nobody to take it. I was like 25 and I was like, yeah, I'll move to Atlanta with my buddies and take over this house and run a Meineke while I do stand up on the side.
I don't even think they're in business anymore.
I think it's all gone. I mean, this
I'll say
Meineke
this. I'll tell you what happened to me one time in a Meineke. And it's a positive, and this is a good little fuck you to your dad. Then I went to a Meineke, and they're like, "Hey, if you open up a line of credit, you can get X amount." And I had no money at the time. Sure. I was like, "Sure." I open up the credit. They do the whole muffler from the converter back, all that shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's on my 1990 Honda Civic with original rims.
Oh, hell yeah.
And
beautiful car.
Thank you. And then they go under within like a week.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I even called to check, but I guess the paperwork never went through.
Oh,
and I got
a gift.
All of that done for free.
Oh, that's the
I
best,
called
man.
To try to be honest and pay.
Good
and
for
like,
you.
We don't have
you
any
the
record
right
of
thing.
It. I was like, call it.
That's the best. You when you try and you're still like,
I was like, look, I'm trying to be honest. Like, we don't have any record. We'll notify you if we do.
It
and
is
then
funny
out of
that
business.
You had like a Meineke credit card. Yep. That is not.
Bro, I had a Meineke credit card. I don't know if it was really a card to walk around with. You know,
it was a it's like having a Chuck E. Cheese credit card. Like, you do not need this. Yeah. If you, good for you. And fuck my dad.
Yeah, fuck your dad.
But yeah, so
so you end up losing that to the executors of the will and everything.
Yep, ended up with nothing. I tried to have a. Now that I think about it, I'm getting pissed off again. But no, not really. I kind of let go of it quick because I was like, "That's money I never really counted on anyway."
You never had it.
Yeah,
you never had it. It wasn't real.
Yeah, exactly. But he had $100,000 in cash in his house.
Did you get that?
I did not. God. I found out because his buddy who he worked with was like. He told me, he's like, did you find the $100,000 in the house? And I was like, they didn't let me in the house. And then he told the lawyer and executor about it, and they didn't report it. And then they were like, what are you talking about? And then they told him that they found it. And then the next time he saw him, they were like, so he was like, what happened with that $100,000? And they go, what $100,000? And they just took it. They just pocketed it. This is the problem. If I could recommend anything, don't have a piece of shit dad who doesn't think of shit like that. But whatever. Like I said, it's money that I never accounted for. I was like, this guy's not even in my life. It's a guy.
This
guy
is a guy getting
time.
Women pregnant and then giving them abortions.
Supposedly.
Yeah. is quite a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great guy. And I'm glad
and
I didn't
get your mom to not even have you at the time.
Yeah, she, according to her, she was really had to like play defense to stop an abortion from happening. Like she really had to stop, like make sure. I thought I was the only one who of his kids that didn't get aborted. It turns out there was one other. And I found this out in the same phone call. I found out that he was dead because they were like, hey, you are
they're like, hey, your dad's dead. You got a brother named Kenny.
And like, he's what? Dead.
He's dead too.
That's what they did. Oh, yeah, that's what they did. They go. They did exactly that. They go. They go. It looks like they said it so casually too, as if I learned I got a brother, and then I learned
how'd
he was dead.
Who was it?
Second.
Do you remember who it was?
It was an attorney.
Oh, an attorney.
It was somebody who worked at the court in Georgia, and they were like, "Okay, there's news here. It looks like you are the only living heir. There is a brother. He did die in a car accident.
I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, the second you hear you have a brother, you're like, oh shit, I might meet this guy. Oh my God, he's gone. I've lost him. So he's dead. And yeah, I never met him. I didn't meet any of these, but he's another half Indian dude. But he did grow up with my father. So it's like, it was a weird thing.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. He was in my father's life. So it was a different thing, you know? And so I was like, man, it's a real bummer this dude's dead. Cause it would be very interesting to get to know him. And like,
so to the best of your knowledge, it's just two siblings out of your father.
Yeah, just okay. Me and him. Yeah, that's right. There might be some.
Sure, but
the way
but
he lived his life, there might have been a few more. But okay. At least I'm the only one who slipped through, you know.
And then do you have a stepdad who comes in? If your dad's gone from day one. So
yeah.
At what age does your mom remarry? Does she just date? What does she do? Yeah,
my mom remarries when I'm two.
Was this from another dude that your aunt couldn't fucking keep on her plate? No,
although it is a setup. My mom worked at Red Lobster.
Oh, shit.
My stepdad, down the street, there was a Jiffy Lube. We're moving up.
What's up with these oil? What's up with your mom? I never made this connection, man.
Something about a guy.
Your mom loves a man in an oil change.
Lay under a car. And not.
They're still in business.
Though. Yeah, they're still doing all right. That Jiffy Lube's still there, I think.
I think Jiffy Lube, if I'm wrong a lot, but I think they're the company that started the whole bullshit 3,000 miles.
Oh, you might be right. I think it was their
marketing campaign that did that and made you think. Because
it's in my head all the time.
But also, of course, if I don't need to change my oil for $7,500, but I'm doing it every three, of course my car is going to run great.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But you don't need to do that.
You probably don't need to.
You don't need
to. I mean, I've learned the hard way. Today,
you don't need to at all.
Yeah.
They're like, you can go for 10,000 miles. I'm like, 10,000 miles?
Yeah.
That's 3.5 Jiffy Lube changes.
And it's expensive, too. I mean, not in small towns, but here, it's like $100.
It's a lot for an oil change.
I gotta learn how to do this shit myself. Doesn't matter. Didn't have
your dad did have a he had a vision. Let's just say he had a vision. Sometimes I dress for comfort, sometimes for style, and I found my new favorite pants that I can wear at any time, anywhere, are from Doer. My Doer pants are the most comfortable pair of pants I own, and not only do they feel great, but they look great too. They're black pants. I wear them on stage all the time. You see me. If you see me in black pants, those are Doer pants. And you're going to see me in black pants a lot. Doer stretch performance denim and lifestyle apparel is made to do what's comfortable. Their denim has 5 times the stretch of traditional rigid denim. They're designed to keep you cool and dry in any temperature, and they are antibacterial for easy care. Plus, they're made with the environment in mind, using sustainable materials that are designed to last. Trust me. You haven't felt comfort until you have your own pair of Doers. Check out Doers flagship stores in LA and Denver or shop online at shopdoer.com. I've arranged something special with Doer just for my listeners. 15% site-wide when you use my promo code Honeydew. This is an awesome deal because Doer never goes on sale. So don't miss out. For 15% off, go now to shopdoer.com. That's shopdoer.com and use my promo code Honeydew. Shopdoer.com, promo code Honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dude.
Stepdad's
Jiffy Lube.
He comes around into the picture when I'm like two. So I thought he was my dad.
Gotcha.
I did not know he wasn't. And
until how old? When do you find that out?
I learned young because I was... I remember I was like 4 years old and all my earliest memories of him because he was terrifying. He was a violent alcoholic, bipolar, but not diagnosed until we were older. And I remember we walk into his grandma's place. We're staying with my great grandma for the weekend on his side. And I walk in. And I'm like four and I'm all excited to see her. She hated me. And I didn't, you know, when an adult hates you and you don't clock it because you're like, what an insane thing to hate a 4 year old.
And also you're confused because you're like, am I wrong?
You don't even, it's before like, you fully mean. Have that
awareness
of like, oh, people cannot like you. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of people in this world who are going to hate you. But we walk in, she's immediately shitting. Part of it is I'm half Indian, and like this is a part of Indiana.
All racist.
These are yeah, she's 100% racist, and she was. She was, and like a lot of people will be like, you don't pass as Indian, but as a kid, like in Indiana at that age, it doesn't matter what you like.
You got a
it's
good
in your
tan.
Blood.
Yeah, you got a yeah. good tan at that age in Indiana. They don't like you.
Blood, blood. They were on their Harry Potter shit. So I walk in and I'm like, oh, my dad's in the car, and I'm talking about my stepdad, and she goes, "What? What? Your dad is in the car?" And he comes in, it's my stepdad, and I go, "See, it's my dad." And she was like, "That's not your fucking dad."
That's how you found out?
What? And so then my mom told me, she denies this. She says I'm mixed up, but I remember this vividly. Maybe I mixed it up. But she told me, she pointed at the newspaper and said, "This is your dad." And it was a picture of Bobby Knight, the basketball coach.
Throwing a chair.
It was a picture of him. And so I went to school and told everybody Bob Knight was my real dad.
No.
And for like a year. And they were like, "You're a fuck." Everybody thought I was like slow or something. And so I looked like a dumbass when I found out that that was not the truth. Because that, I mean, I'm from the town that from yeah, Bobby Knight country,
right.
man.
You're from
so
Bobby Knight City.
Saying that sounds yeah. insane. It's yeah. like it's like saying Neil Armstrong is my, like, I don't know. It's insane. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I found out pretty early he was not my real dad. And he also made you feel like he was very resentful of me growing up. He was like, had a lot of jealousy. He would think that I thought I was better than him or something. I was pretty good in school. And if I was good at something, he was like, "You think you're fucking smarter than me?" That type of shit. I don't know. I think because I wasn't his kid, he felt like a weirdness. Even though he's there since I was two. So it's like kids don't have that in their brain. Like, "I fucking hate my stepdad."
No,
when you're two.
At all.
You know?
Yeah. He's bringing all that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a great father figure.
How long is he in your life?
Still.
Wow.
He's still in my life.
Is he still yeah. married to your mom?
He is. Yeah.
Is he going to listen to this?
Maybe. I don't know. He watches all my shit now. He's actually become a big fan. It's weird. It's weird. I mean, to be fair, it's like now I'm older. I try not to hold resentment about stuff, but it fucked me up. Like, it fucks you up as a kid.
Of course it does. Yeah.
He would do fucked up shit. He told me he was going to like, he would kill our pets and stuff. Like,
what?
He's a psycho. Yeah.
What do you mean?
He would, I mean, not like our dogs or whatever. He was abusive to animals. All the stuff that like you hear like serial killers do or whatever, he was doing that shit. He poisoned like cats and stuff.
In the neighborhood? Like random cats?
Yeah.
And you knew this?
Yeah. He told me. It fucking scared the shit out of me. We had pet rats and he smashed one in the head one night and told, I was like, "Where did Rex go?" That was the name of the rat. I love this rat. And he goes, "Oh, I fucking smashed its head in last night." So I was terrified of this dude. He would get drunk. He'd drink 30 natural lights. That's why I don't drink natural lights.
Natty
it's
lights.
Fucking, it's for animal abusers.
Serious.
I hope you're not trying to get sponsored by natural light.
He would kill pets?
He would kill pets, yeah.
And tell you about
it. Tell me about it to scare me. We had rabbits that I found out that he slaughtered just for the fun of it. Like,
not to eat.
No.
Not-
no. He didn't have that type of skills to like flay and fucking. No. No. No, he like
what's
slit
he
this
doing with
him? He was just being sick. He was
and
like
then just trash
throw him,
him
out or whatever. He was hammered, I think.
Did you
like
ever come across any of this? Did you ever see
I didn't
any
see
of this?
It, no. But my, I found out you. Years later. Now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this shit, but we're here. We're doing it. But no, it scared the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
And then he told me one night, he was like, because he would get drunk, and as I was getting older, I would be the one he would like take shit out on, but he would also confide shit in me. He'd be like, if my mom like was shitty to him one day, she would go to work at night and I'd just be stuck in the house with a maniac.
Literally.
Yeah. And I had a couple younger siblings in the house, three, and then older ones. The older ones got out. But I remember he threw an ice pick at my older sister and stabbed her with it.
What?
Yeah. And so she moved out quick. Like she had it rough, but then I'm just in the house.
I'll bet.
Yeah. It was. I mean, my older
these children, his biological kids.
Only my two younger brothers are his biological kids.
Okay.
Yeah, but
and your mom and him are still married.
They are still married. Yeah,
and she knows about the ice pick and the animals.
All of it. She's like connected to. You know what I mean? It's a tricky situation. I hate to like. I love her. I hate to like. You know, divulge any of her shit. Like. Or like speculate on her stuff, but they are still married, and it's a weird sitch because I still see him sometimes.
Yeah,
and like I said,
what's that like?
Now he's like, oh, I saw your YouTube. Like he shows my videos to his friend when I did the Tonight Show and like Conan. Oh, he's like using me to like brag to his friends now, and I want to be like motherfucker, like
killed Trixie.
Yeah. They cut a bit out of my Epic special where I had a joke about like wanting him to kill himself, and then I was like, and the producer of it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's like my favorite bit in the thing. And I was like, I'm scared or whatever. But then it's like you get older and you're like, this shit happened.
It happened.
Like, you should have the right to talk about it if it happened.
Not only that, here's the thing, man. People back then never even considered that they could abuse this group of people, mm-hmm. children, whatever. And then those kids will grow up to sit behind microphones in front of cameras and tell the story of what happened to them. And now there's a certain group of these adults that are like, oh, shit.
I know. But it's like, I wonder if they even connect to it. Like sometimes I dream of like calling them up and being like, what do you think about everything that happened? Like, do you remember?
And do you still do that? Does he still drink like that?
I don't know. I moved out when I was 18 and like tried to get away.
Rabbits and crushing.
From what I understand, he seems to have mellowed out. My mom was always like, he's mellowed way out. Like he just like hangs out at home now and like watches like Matlock and shit. He just watches reruns of Andy Griffith show and stuff. He seems to be way more mellowed out. I don't know if he has that streak in him anymore, but I thought for a minute of like, maybe I'll do a podcast where I like talk to him. And then I was like, this is too intense. Also, not every fucking thing has to be content.
Not everything needs to be content in a podcast. Yeah. You're right. That but could it's be a like, phone call. I would make a phone call, stay away.
I think it was the only way I could like wrap my head around actually talking to him. Cause I was like, maybe if he thinks it's like fun or something, I don't know. But it's like, it fucks you up. Like he told me as a young kid, like, if you guys leave, I will find you and kill you. Like that sort of shit. So I lived into my 20s
holy
in fucking fear.
Dude, that's what he would say.
Yeah. He said, I will.
You
track
telling
you down
your
and
mom
kill you.
This stuff as a kid?
He said, if you tell your mom, I will also like, cause that'll make her want to leave. And then I will kill you. And he had this gun in the house that like was this daunting thing all the time,
like a shotgun or a pistol.
Handgun. And like I shot it once. He was like, oh, it's fun, I got this gun. And then it very quickly became like a threat. Like he was like, I have that gun, you know what I can do with it, whatever. And then once a month he would get depressed because of bipolar shit, and he would go stand in the yard and like hold the gun to his head. And I was the only kid. I was the oldest kid in the house. So I would have to go out there and be like, please don't kill yourself.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This is like a once a month sort of thing.
Once a month?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the rent. And,
it's like
his
period.
Maybe that was it. Maybe he was supposed to be transgender. And this was his way of, this is the problem cycle. With not letting trans people do their thing, is then you have guys like this. No, I'm going to get myself canceled on this fucking show. No, it's, but yeah, I would have to convince him like, hey, you're a cool guy. Don't kill yourself. You know?
And where you're living in Indiana, is it far enough out that you don't have neighbors on either side close enough that they're seeing him stand out
there?
They
probably could. Or, it was
is
like
anyone
usually,
coming over to help you or talk to you? Everybody's minding their business.
Everybody's doing their own thing. It's not a friendly neighborhood that we live in. It's also
and is he
across
a white
the street.
Dude? He is.
He's a white dude.
That sounds like white dude shit.
He was Dominican and came out to Indiana. He was a baseball player. No, he was a classic white dude, very proud of like German shit.
Did he own the Jiffy Lube?
No.
Hold on. No. I didn't mean to jump over that. Very proud of German shit, heard too.
He always like tells about German food and stuff. And he was like, not that he was like into Nazi shit necessarily, mm-hmm. but like. He was definitely racist.
Not
he was for sure racist. But he was Yeah, he was racist.
Don't you find it fascinating that, because I know some guys back in from Maryland that were racist, and then they marry a Dominican woman or something like that. I'm like,
yeah.
How do you always talk about the darker skin color and how you dislike it, and then you marry this lady and then have children with her.
Sure.
And then you continue that racism.
Yeah.
But your
That's
kids
even
are
even weirder. Yeah.
It's like, right? It's like, you well, can
continue
well, not
the race. Yeah.
Mine.
Yeah. I found mine the one that. Good.
Yeah.
Right. One of those.
Yeah. Not mine. One of those.
One of
those.
I can't even say it.
Whatever.
Whatever the fuck she is. I found the good one.
I found the good one. Okay.
I think she might have been, she's white in her heart or whatever.
Yeah, she's got a white heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bonkers when you see that. And you do it's see
crazy.
It. Like,
yeah, you have totally a racist right. stepdad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's
and you're
with
half
a white
Indian.
Woman. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't
He's
great.
With a white woman, but you're not
yeah,
white.
Yeah. yeah.
And so then maybe part of that is why he's taking shit out on you, too.
Yeah, it could be. I think it was all more self. I don't think it was ever really about me. I think it was all insecurities. And of course, I say that now as I've just realized it's like, yeah, of course that was it. Doesn't
now,
make any
your
sense.
Your biological father left. That was
that
all
was
you.
Personal.
That was all you.
That was, I made the wrong face. I made the wrong face when I came out. He goes, this guy's
You didn't even
a
need to make a face.
Shit.
As soon as your mom said I'm pregnant, he's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
No, you're not. No, mm-hmm. no.
I can feel this kid's vibe.
Yeah, you're the reason
cool.
he left. Legit.
Sure.
You are the reason.
I mean, maybe
your
I did say something fucked up mentally. Maybe I didn't connect the right way.
So what is it like having, does this guy come into like your high school events? Does he show up? Are you embarrassed? Do you bring friends
no
to the
high
house?
High school
There's
events?
Nothing.
No, we're not doing any of that shit.
None of that.
Because my mom worked nights.
You're not going to prom.
I went to prom. That was the one thing I did. I didn't go to homecoming.
You play sports?
I wanted to play sports really bad. I tried, and I was able to play once I turned 16 because then I could drive.
Right.
So I played soccer when I was like 17. I wanted to play basketball. I was too fat to make the team. It was
ruined
really? My life.
You don't look.
I was a heavier kid, and also I'm just not very tall or anything. And my high school team was very good. They won state in Indiana.
Well,
so
I mean,
tough.
You better be fucking good if you're playing, especially in Bloomington,
yeah,
Indiana,
yeah.
or even near that area.
Exactly. Yeah,
Larry
it's,
Bird
it's,
country.
It's basketball town,
yeah,
baby.
You better be good out there.
It's in everywhere else. It's just basketball, is what they say. But I wanted to do that shit. I couldn't do really after school stuff because I didn't have a ride because my stepdad would get off work and he would be hammered by, you know, 5:30 mm-hmm. and he would his excuse is always like that he had bad vision at night. But it's like, yeah, man, because you're fucking blurry eyed.
I don't know what it is, but I'm seeing two things yeah. all the time. I see double. Yeah,
he did.
Shit face.
He tried to teach me how to drive, but he was drinking in the car and he was like, you got to. Drive faster, man. You're creeping everybody out. You're going to get us pulled over. He taught me how to drive
You're
going to
get us pulled over. He's like,
I was going like 10 under, and he's like, you're driving like a weirdo. You're driving like a drunk guy. You gotta drive normal. Yeah. But no,
shit.
He wasn't coming to any type of shit. Like, I had a friend over once, and he freaked the friend out. So it's like, we just didn't do that ever again.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, nobody met this dude. He was like my secret, like terrifying stepdad. And so it made me a fucking weirdo at school, too, because I didn't go out to stuff. And then, you know, you're up till 3 a.m. trying to convince a guy not to kill himself.
Yeah.
And then
you
get on the school bus.
In the morning.
Yeah. You're like, shit, I didn't finish my homework last night because I had to do my homework. Like I had to come up with excuses for a middle-aged man not to kill himself.
Jesus. So, and you're not telling anyone that at school, no guidance counselors.
I was worried. I eventually started talking about it when I was like 14. I went through, I think, the phase like people get into at some point where it turned from fear to anger mm-hmm. when I was like 16 or 15. So then it's like you're kind of looking for a fight at some point.
You're also
and you're
bigger,
screaming
you're
for
getting
help.
Stronger. Yeah. You're 16.
Exactly.
Feel
yeah.
a little
you're
more
like lifting weights. Yeah. You're like, I think I could fucking
like I think
fight 28
natties in. I'm gonna fuck this
yeah.
dude.
Yeah. yeah. But I would do little shit. Like he would fuck up, and then I started pouring out all of his booze, and he wouldn't say shit to me because he knew. Like, but he would. The problem is he would do all this shit, and he would get so drunk he would forget.
Right.
And then the next day it's like, why the fuck are you in a bad mood to me? And I'm like, could you not remember everything you fucking did last night? You psycho, like just throwing beer bottles against the wall. He like pointed a gun at me a couple times.
What?
Held the knife to my fucking throat. It's like, why are you pissed off? I don't know, man.
Why is your mom still with
She's
gone.
She was at it. She was at work, you know. But
God.
You know, it's scary. I don't know. Like, why does anybody stay anywhere? You know, it's not easy.
He probably told her the same thing. You ever leave, I'll fucking come kill you.
Maybe. It's also, life is long. Maybe he's chilled. Maybe he just never showed her that side. I don't know. Like, different people have different relationships and stuff. But I was fucking terrified. And it's one of those things. Like, you do the show, obviously. This is a great fucking show. You're able to make humor out of this stuff. This is the one thing I've had a really hard time doing on stage. Like, I do my first, the album I just put out, the Ticar Noir thing, a lot of it's about my father stuff and, like, being had, like, not having an Indian father around. That stuff took me a minute to figure out. This, when I say the shit about, like, he killed the pets or whatever, I'm like, this is not, people are not laughing. And it's really hard for me to get over the hump. You know what I mean?
I would, from just experience on podcast in general over all these years, anytime something's mentioned about animals.
Dude, it's over.
I've had people come on here talk about killing a person and people are like, that's a great episode.
Yeah,
you talk about an animal or something.
Dude, it's disturbing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would almost rather say that he killed a person on stage.
It would be more palatable than hearing
you cannot,
he crushed
and also it's
a
like,
rabbit.
That's the sort of thing. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think that's funny at all.
Right.
But it's,
but
I
it's
need
your
to
life.
Say this
You're
stuff
narrating
to set
your life.
Up.
Yeah.
Because I had this bit about, like, oh, I wish my stepdad would kill himself or whatever. Like, that's not the joke, but it's a joke. And sometimes it would murder, but sometimes people would be looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you? I love my stepdad. Why would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's trying to figure out a way to explain the horror or, like, the piece of shitness to set up all of the funny stuff that I can say after that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks, man. I really thought you'd have the answers,
good
brother.
Luck.
I really thought you'd have the answers. Here.
I don't know about how you're dancing around murdering animals up there because he ain't hunting. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's tough. By the way, I hope this isn't too intense. I know this is the show, but it's also, I might be
show.
Too much.
You're not too much. Yeah. He was too much. You're just telling. It's not like you did this.
That's a thing that does piss me off about, like, the limitations of comedy sometimes, where it's like, people are like, man, I just like comedians who talk about their family and stuff. And it's like, it's fucked up that just because of how the circumstances are, if I do that, I'm labeled a dark, like, this, like, dirty, dark comic. And it's like, no, I just am trying to do the same thing everybody else is doing.
Trying to tell you what happened in my life growing up. Yeah, yours seemed a little different over there. Yours seems a little different.
Yeah.
What so what age do you leave then? At 18? Is that when you
finally
get out?
I moved out at 18, and it's weird. It's like, it was a real bummer because I really loved living with my mom. My mom is very funny. My mom's a cool, like, wonderful mom.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
He had to work at night, like, to keep us afloat, you know? We didn't have,
what
like,
did he
a lot
do?
Of money.
He not hold
he
a
worked,
job?
No, he just worked at, he worked at Jiffy Lube, and then,
but he was able to, he's a functioning alcoholic, that's what I mean, he was able to stay.
Yeah, you don't have to
there.
Do a whole lot to work at those spots, no offense to the people who work at those, but, like, you can kind of ride the line, and he was the type of drunk who, normally, I think he would be asleep by like 10:30, 11. Some nights it was like you could go till 4 and make me, like, listen to music with him, like, held me hostage. And I was like, dog, I have fucking school tomorrow. And so that was a zombie. But, like, I did, when I turned 18, I had an opportunity to move in with a buddy right before I went to college. And I went to school in Bloomington. So I went to IU. And so to save money and shit. But my buddy was like, do you want to move into this apartment? And I was like, not going to do it. And then he really like egged me on for it. And then I did. And it's the best thing I've ever done with my life. Because like I didn't realize how much every night worrying about whether Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde mm-hmm. was going to come out was affecting me. And then when you're like, you get to figure out who you are a little bit, like in the world. Because I was like carrying that every day. And then I went to college and I was like, oh, I can become like a normal guy now. Like I can just not think about this shit at all. And of course, you're still thinking about it in the back of your head or every time you go home. But yeah, it was a dream. I went to college, started doing improv, figured out like, oh, I can be social on top of it. Because when all that shit's happening at home too, I was not a social kid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I had friends and stuff, but I wasn't like belle of the ball. Like, I was like a weirdo with dark fucking raccoon eyes coming to school. And so, yeah, I got to open up and then started comedy. Got engaged super young.
How old?
I was 21, I think.
Okay.
21 or 22. And it was a girl I was like super into. Like it was my first real girlfriend. And I worked at the hospital with her night shifts and we both went to IU. She graduates early. I was supposed to move to LA out of college to do an internship at Jimmy Kimmel. Because I had a pipeline from IU. And instead, she begged me to move to Ohio where she was going to med school. She was like, come do this. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm an Indiana kid. I was like a romantic fucking little bitch. And I was like, okay, I'll move to Ohio. I'll move to LA once you're done with med school. It's all good. And then we'll have our careers. And then I moved there and she very quickly is like, we're moving way too fast. Like, oh, we got engaged right before I moved.
Okay.
And she's like, we're moving way too fast. We're too young. She's right, by the way. Mm-hmm. But at the time it's like, all right, well, I moved to Ohio. You did have me move here. And then eventually I'm driving 2 hours to do open mics to try to stay sane. I'm working night shift at a hospital and a hotel, like alternating, trying to stay afloat while figuring out what I'm doing. And then in that time, she ends up cheating on me with this dude she goes to med school with.
Oh, how do you find out?
I found out it was a weird thing. I had some weird little suspicion. She was hanging out with this guy a lot. And she originally tried to set this dude up with her friend. And
what's up with all these weird setups in your life?
I know.
These women and these setups.
Setups are bad.
Yeah. Does this guy work at a fucking quick express or some shit?
What's left? Midas. He works at Pet Boys. He's in the whole shop.
Pet Boys.
He does it all. Full service. Yeah. And he did. He goes to med school with her. They're hanging out all the time. I see one night they work at Buffalo Wild Wings together at night to like as like a side job in med school. And I am there with her one night. She's a little drunk and she kisses him on the neck. And I was like, that was weird. I was like, that was really weird that you kissed your friend on the neck. And then we break up and I only find out that she was cheating on me because when I go back to get my shit out of the house, she's at school. And I was like, I had to drive 5 hours to Indiana to my buddy's place. We're in Ohio. I have to make two trips. On the trip back, I go while she's at school. I'm just going to get in and out. I tell her, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to be there for 30 minutes. She's like, you're not going to fucking see me. Are you serious? Like, you're being a child. And I was like, well, this is the window that I'm going to be there. And she goes, oh, well, I was going to go to the gym then. And I was like, okay, fuck you. Like, this is over. So I'm packing my shit up and I see this camera that I had bought her. It was the first selfie camera. It was fucking expensive. I was a broke college kid, but I bought her this camera and I had half a thought of like, maybe I'll take that camera back, which I didn't end up doing it. But I look through some of the pictures and it's them like making out and stuff like on the selfie camera. After we had, it was like 2 days after. And I was like, oh, this has been a thing the whole fucking time.
And so she was doing that the whole time going to Ohio and made you move anyway?
I think it started after I moved to Ohio. I think she was like, this guy's a fucking loser. He drives to Columbus 3 nights a week to do stand-up open mics. what the fuck am I doing? I'm going to be a doctor. Like, and so, I mean, now they're married, I think.
Oh, for real?
So, yeah, yeah. So she probably did the right thing, but it fucked my life up for a little bit. Because it was like, I based my whole life on that for a little bit. And then it was nice because I had a buddy who was like, now just do stand up. He's like, stand up is your thing now. Because I went on stage and just talked about it and it went all right. And he was like, that's the most interesting thing you've ever said. And so just do that from now on. And that changed my life. Like that made me a comedian because I was doing stand up, but I wasn't doing comedy because when you're just talking about like, so I read the newspaper today and this happened, there are funny people who can do that. Yep. It's not something I ever seek out. Like, and I also don't think all your comedy has to be trauma or something. I think it should be either very absurd or very real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not that, I mean, there's room for all of it, but my favorite comedy is the stuff that's like really incisive and comes from a very like real thing, you know what I mean? And so for me, that was that. I was like, oh, now I have real shit to talk about. And then it opened up the world of like, oh, now I can talk about my dad and my whatever, you know, if that makes any sense. So I feel like I just threw a lot of shit at you.
Well, going back to your biological dad, you say you can talk about your dad. Does anyone in his family ever reached out or anything like
no,
that?
No, I don't know if anybody's alive. I don't really? Know if they knew about me.
No, okay, that's another thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I've the only person from his past life to reach out to me is an ex of his who, like I said, she wanted me to drop this lawsuit. And every once in a while, I'm like, maybe I should like look it up. The last name is pretty uncommon, apparently. So it's like I could look into it. I do kind of want to go out there and just see. And I will say, to Indian people's credit, every time I talk about this shit on stage, and I make fun of Indian people because of it, because I'm like, this is what Indian people do, and I just use my dad as the example. But then I'll go I'll say that on stage and make fun of them, and then after the show, they almost always, if there's Indian people in the crowd, someone will come up to me and be like, hey man, I will take you to India, dog, like, let's go.
Really?
Yeah they're like, this is fucked up. Like, and also, like, Indian people, if you're Indian and you say I'm Indian, Indian people want to claim you. They are like, you are one of us. And so, because I didn't have him my life, I would go on stage and feel like kind of fraudulent as like, well, I'm not Indian enough. I'm not white enough. I'm not anything.
That's interesting.
And then they would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're Indian. Like, if you are half Indian, you are Indian. Come to India and I'll show you the world. Like, they're proud of, they want you to like India, you know? Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go?
I do want to go at some point.
And what do you think you'll see there?
The Taj Mahal. I don't fucking know.
I mean, anything family from your father's or anything
I
over
don't know,
there?
Man.
Do you know if there's property or anything still over
that's
there?
That's a great question.
You know?
I never even thought of that.
Really?
Yeah, there's probably like a house out there.
Got
or something.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
somebody
don't know.
Stole it from you, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah,
but there
yeah.
was
I mean,
something.
It's not mine. That's yeah. not, that wouldn't be mine. But like, if I never thought about that. I would like to like see where
you close with your mom.
Oh yeah, very.
What
close.
About taking a trip with your mom?
I don't know if she would be interested in that, but
she could see India could also.
Yeah, I don't think she likes. She barely likes to travel to LA. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, she met your dad in the ads, and your stepdad worked down the street. She
yeah,
don't have
yeah.
to travel too far for it. Woo. Tell me about your mom, though. She sounds like a strong lady. I mean,
she is.
Go through all that.
Dude, every therapist I've ever had has been like, if it wasn't for your mom, you would be a fucking psychopath. Because it's like, and my wife said that, too. She was like, I told her this stuff not immediately. And I didn't come out of the
yeah,
game
you don't.
It.
You got to ease in. You got to ease into this shit.
You
got to ease
in. You cannot come out of the, it
yeah,
can't be your bubble profile.
That's why we start with plugs and stuff at the top yeah. episodes. You know what I mean? Let's ease into it.
Man, I really hope I didn't upset people with that stuff. Now I'm like in my head, but it's all
you
good.
Didn't. Your stepdad did.
I know,
you
I didn't. Know. But it's like I could see people. I like, had to turn it off after he fucking said this thing. But it's just the reality of it.
See, here's the thing that for the people watching and listening is they get to turn it off. You didn't get to turn that off. You had
yeah.
to live that life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. your life.
It's true. Yeah, I just don't want to fuck up your show. I don't know for a week or whatever. But yeah, my mom is awesome. Like, she's very strong. She had kids when she was 15.
Damn.
My older brother and then my older sister 2 years later. So she had to figure shit out early. And there is not money where I come from. Like, we didn't come from anything. And so she had to work her way up. She was working full time at Red Lobster when I was born. And then she worked her way through nursing school. And then she became a nurse when I was like maybe nine or something like that. I don't remember the exact years, but like then she worked fucking 80 hours a week. That's the thing. She was trying to like figure shit out. So she was working a lot, which is why I was like kind of stuck with this psycho all the time. Yeah. And so I had to like
Jiffy Lube clothes pick up at some, night, man. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah. I wish they had night shift. Jiffy Lube, man. That would have fixed a lot of my life.
If Jiffy Lube would have just been 24/7.
Why can't there be a graveyard shift at Jiffy Lube? yeah. That would have been good, but no, so now she's worked her way into like she's a nurse practitioner. She's like doing great. She's I'm very proud of her. And like it's funny, I would like help her with her homework while I was doing my homework. She was like, you know, working full time and going to school full time. Yeah, she's fucking awesome. She's great. She's like raising another baby now.
What do you mean, grandbabies?
Yeah. So she's like. I've never met anybody with as much like drive as she has, and like she does not relax. Like, I mean, she'll watch like a TV show sometimes, but like she like works her fucking ass off. And so it always put a thing under me. I don't know if like if you feel like work ethically or it feels like it never ends, because I'm just like, if I take a second off, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
I'm terrible at relaxing. I'm horrible at vacations, because as soon as I'm on vacation, I'm like, what are we doing? I can be doing more.
Yeah.
I should be doing more.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you're right where you should be. You should be doing less.
I know. It's tough, man. Less, it's tough not to focus on like, well, I could have this many more followers if I posted this today. Like, and then it's like, I hate that shit. I don't know. But we pick jobs where there's no boss to tell you, hey, man, you're done for the day. And so I think I got that from her a little bit. We talk about that a lot, where I'm like, I don't understand how people don't feel like this all the time, you know? And she's like, yeah, me neither, man. But you should. And then she'll always tell me to chill. But
she does. Yeah. How often do you get to see her?
Like twice a year, maybe three times. Because I go back to Indiana a lot to do. I'll do the Comedy Attic when I'm back. Sometimes I'll do the holidays. She's going to come to here to see my new house in a couple weeks, which is exciting. Because she doesn't, I think, like, she came out for my wedding last year in New York, but it's hard to get my family to travel. Part of it, she's busy all the time, too, so it's hard to get a day off, you know? My bad. I shouldn't have drank at the same time. Okay. Like, it's all left good, the dead man. Air. Yeah. Man, this shit's intense. I'm, like, sweating. I feel so bad. If you have to edit that shit out,
we're not cutting it out. Okay. We're not cutting it out. It's what happened.
I know.
Yeah. Look, here's the other thing. This show is different than just a hang. You know, yeah. If we were hanging and you said that, fine. But this show is about what you went through. And like, I got to say, I don't know. No one's ever come on here and talked about someone doing that to animals and then telling the kid, like, I did this and I did that. And where's Rex? I smashed his head. Like,
yeah,
that's fucking, it's a wonder you're not a psycho.
Well, that's like, I'm grateful that like I somehow shielded myself from like not, I think it's because I would watch, I use like TV as an escape. And so that kind of can normal you out a little bit. Like, you're watching sitcoms and stand up. And so you get to see like, oh, this is how normal adults act, or like what I'm going through is not regular. You know, it's fucking weird.
And now you also realize how fucked up it is that you're looking at comics and going, this is normal.
Yeah.
That's how fucked up your show.
Yeah. That is why, like,
you know what I'm saying?
That's like, a great point. It's not normal.
This feels way better than this
stuff. Yeah, you're just like a 9-year-old watching Marc Maron talk about whatever, and you're like, this is regular.
Yeah, this is fine. Dude, this has been a great episode. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, man. This is I love this show. And like,
thank you.
I've never said most of this stuff to like not only like on, you know, a mic or whatever, but just to most people. But you're like, you have a gift to fucking open people up. So,
thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, brother.
Well, before we wrap up, let me ask you, after everything we've talked about now, this is going to be interesting. Advice you would give to your 16-year-old self.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. You said that earlier, and then I got lost in my own bullshit. I would say the thing that changed my life for the better is when I really took in, like, you're going to die someday. Like, there's in 200 years, you will be nothing. And so use that to your advantage. Like, don't be afraid of anything. Like, I was really afraid of, like, embarrassing myself socially as a kid. And I think, like, by taking risks, like, even doing stand-up, I wish I had done it earlier. Like a lot of, like, Chappelle doing it at 14 or something. If you think, like, you know, I want to do something, but I'm like, oh, I'm shy, whatever, get over that shit. You're going to be dust in 200 years. So keep that in mind. I know it's not a positive, like, it's not always a positive for everybody. For me, it was a big positive. It's the reason I started stand up is I was like, I want to do this. And I'm so scared of it going bad, or that I'll have some sort of fear on stage or something. And then it's like, who gives a shit? Yeah, that and play sports more. I don't know. Yeah, and I played too many video games. get out of the house. But a lot of this was out of my control. But remember, you're going to die, and let it motivate you.
Hell yeah.
That might have been an insane thing to say. I don't know. I'm off the rails.
One more time, plug and promote, whatever you
like. Tom Takkar on all the socials, Takkar. I promise I won't say anything too disturbing on there. And then, yeah, the special's on YouTube now and wherever you get your albums, except for Spotify. And that is Takkar Noir, Takkar Noir. And Stand By Your Band, the podcast. Get on those.
All right. Thank you very much for being here. It's a great episode. Don't overthink it. You're good to go. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, RyanSickler.com. Get your tickets for the Live and Alive tour. Come out and see me on the road. Again, tickets at RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.